Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy. And I want to take a minute and look at something. You know, Jeff talked about Mark chapter 5, and it was just a great teaching and very transparent and very powerful in the teaching. And I just want to hit a couple things that jumped out to me as I was reading that and reviewing that this week. So open your Bible to Mark chapter 5, and we'll probably look starting around verse 6 or verse 7. So Mark chapter 5, verse 6, 7, 10 minutes on the clock. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you for just your presence and your healing at work in our life, God. We thank you that you've come to give us life more abundant, God. We thank you that you come to redeem us and refresh us and revive us, God. And we thank you that you are at work in our lives and in our families, and that your name has been given to us, our covenant relationship with you. You are Jehovah Elohim, who is our Adonai. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the glory of the Lord being released in our life, God. We thank you for every one of these souls that are have been saved or rededicated and are being baptized, God. Many of them, most of them, for the very first time. We thank you for it, God. And we thank you that you would help us and you would walk with us, God. We seek to serve you and know you and just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you look at this, you know, there's a lot of things I jump into and talk about here. If you haven't read Mark chapter 5, Jeff taught it on Sunday about the demon-possessed man in the living in the tombs, and he would cut himself, and this there was actually, if you look in verse, let's look at verse 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. So Jeff talked about that, about how demons and a demonic influence and pressure in somebody's life, that they were cutting themselves, you know. And it's just interesting to me that demons influence this thing of punishing yourself because of the pain, and you're trying to relieve the pain and you're trying to deal with this. But from a demonic influence, these demons were causing this man to cut himself and cry out. And so it's interesting to me that the redemption for that. See, the demons want you to crucify yourself, which doesn't heal the pain. All it does is create more pain. But Jesus, when he was cut or crucified or pierced for us on the cross, Isaiah 53 talks about he was, you know, pierced for our transgressions. By the stripes on his back, the cutting on his back, we are healed. And so Jesus was cut, was pierced, was crucified so that we could be healed. And the pain could be removed, the power of sin could be removed, the punishment of sin could be removed, the pain and shame and rejection could be removed. And he took upon himself our infirmities in his own body, and he was cut for us. And so the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to cut yourself, wants you to crucify yourself to punish yourself, but wants you to be crucified with Christ, because his crucifixion and the cutting that he took upon himself by the stripes on his back, the crown of thorns that he wore, and how he was pierced and, you know, on the cross, he was cut for you. His flesh paid the price for the pain and sin and shame in sickness and disease in your life. So the Holy Spirit wants you to realize Jesus was cut for you. Jesus, you don't have to punish yourself. Jesus was punished for you. A demonic spirit wants to blind you from the reality of what Jesus has done for you and wants you to punish yourself, wants you to cut yourself. I'm telling you, demonic spirits are lying, deceitful jokers. I'm telling you, they will tempt you. And once they tempt you and you bite and you take the bait and you believe the lie, you believe the fear, you jump into to try to please yourself or try to medicate from the pain, or you jump into whatever the temptation is, then the tempter turns into the accuser. And so once he tempts you and you go into sin and you enter into temptation and you enter into sin, then the tempter who says, hey, man, come on, do this, and wants you to agree with the darkness and the shame and the pain and everything, agree with that stinking thinking and that dark way of thinking. Once you agree with it and you enter into the temptation, then Satan turns into the accuser. Look at you. I can't believe you did that. And it's like, wait a minute. You're the one that just led me into this. You're the one that just tempted me into this. You're the one that just opened the door and brought suggestion into my life. But once you receive and you enter into that temptation by heeding and agreeing with the dark demonic suggestions that are against the mind of Christ and against the life of Christ, once you enter into temptation, I'm telling you, the enemy will flip on you and your tempter then becomes your accuser. I can't believe you did that. If you were really saved, if God really loved you, you know, this wouldn't be happening. And he begins to lie to you and deepens that shame. So we go in the cycle of temptation to trauma, temptation to trauma, temptation to trauma, the tempter, the accuser, the tempter, the accuser. And it brings us into this craziness and this confusion. And that's where demonic powers have the ability. They can't possess a child of God, but they can harass and influence and oppress a child of God mentally and emotionally. And they can come and just work in your life. And here's this man. If you look down in verse 8, the man had this, Jesus dealt with the unclean spirit. And it's really important because there's different kinds of spirits. It's really important that Jesus talked about an unclean spirit. And he said the man had a legion of unclean spirits. And that's like Jeff talked about on Sunday, that's like between 5,000 and 6,000 soldiers. A legion is about 5,000 or 6,000 soldiers. So this man, think about it, had that many influencing demonic entities influencing his life, causing him to cut himself, blinding him from the sacrifice that Jesus made for him. And it was an unclean legion. And so we talk about, you know, are you going to submit your life to, you know, you walk in sin, you open up to spirits, and spirits, they piggyback off one another. They work together to bring more and more people in, and the strong man forms a stronghold of demonic strong man and a demonic stronghold in people's life of shame, pain, addiction, whatever it is. And it just to harass you and torment you and cause you to live in the tombs, in a sense. And so it was legion. And I just was thinking about, like, you know, here's the Lord dealing with the legion. Here's the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the angel armies. Here's the Lord, King of kings, Lord of lords, coming to deal with a man who had a legion of demons, a legion. 5,000 to 6,000 demons influenced a man's life, and the Lord dethroned the legion. Man, I just love that. And it was an unclean spirit. It was an unclean spirit. And that unclean spirit, I find this very, very interesting. And this is a whole nother teaching, but I find it very interesting. It jumped off the page of me when Jeff was teaching this, that the unclean spirit, when Jesus was about to cast them out, they asked to go into a herd of swine. Now, swine in Jewish, in according to scripture and Jewish, you know, tradition, is they're unclean animals. You're not supposed to eat pork, not supposed to eat that kind of stuff because it's unclean. And so pigs and swine were unclean. So you have an unclean spirit looking for an unclean body. And that's what happens when we sin. Unclean spirits look for unclean bodies. And when you're not walking in purity, when you're not walking in holiness, when you're not walking in obedience motivated by love, God, I want to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, then you begin to live in an unclean way, in an impure way, impure thoughts, impure actions, unclean mouth, unclean mind. And what happens is unclean spirits are attracted to unclean places and unclean behavior. And so the unclean spirits were crying out, let us go into these unclean animals. So I just an unclean spirit is seeking and searching for unclean bodies and minds and things to actually to live there and habitate there. And you need to be like, no. I have confessed my sin. Jesus has forgiven me of my sin, and I am walking in, he's cleansed me from my sin. He has purified me, and I'm walking in a pure mind. I'm walking in a sober mind. I'm walking in a set apart mind. And this man ended up in verse 15. Says that they found him clothed and everything and right and cleaned up, and he was in his right mind. That's a sound mind. That's a sober mind. That's a self-controlled mind. It's talking about the mind of Christ, a mind that has the ability to walk in self-control, the ability to walk in purity, the ability to walk in holiness. And so to me, this is just a couple things that I just saw, wanted to unpack, you know, from Sunday for you, and understand that unclean spirits are looking and seeking for unclean places. So Jesus did not send an unclean spirit to a clean place. But the demonic spirits knew they could ask for residence or habitation in an unclean place. Because an unclean place, an unclean mind, an unclean heart, unclean behavior, sin in your life gives the enemy opportunity. And Ephesians talks about don't give the enemy opportunity. So if we're living in, if we're not living in the mind of Christ, if we're not walking in obedience motivated by love, and we habitually walk in this sinful way of living, we create more and more space of unclean space for an unclean spirit to want residence in us to then work deception. And you live in that long term, one, two, skip a few, you end up going from one demonic influence possibly to a legion. And you end up punishing yourself, destroying yourself. Your tempter becomes your accuser. And you end up walking in temptation to trauma, temptation to trauma, temptation to trauma. But what you need to do is turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Lord Jesus, your Lord, your Lord. And I come out of agreement with the uncleanliness in my life. And Lord, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me, God. Cleanse me. Cleanse my mind. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse my life. Let your purity rise up in me, God. I just thank you that. Just wash me, God. Wash me and cleanse me. And that doesn't mean you get saved all over again. I know my time's up, but it doesn't mean you get saved all over again. You're already saved. You're already forgiven. He's made you perfect. He's made you complete. But you need a cleansing, not of your spiritual identity, because you're a new creation in Christ. If you're born again, you're a new creation in Christ. But what you need is to cleanse your mind and your soul and your emotions to come into agreement with the new you that's in your spirit. And so you walk in the mind of Christ, and then you go from glory to glory to glory instead of temptation to trauma, obedience to obedience to obedience, faith to faith to faith, glory to glory to glory. And you keep increasing and walking in the glory of the Lord in your life, and you walk in victory. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would cleanse your people who open to you and who draw near to you and who cleanse their hearts and cleanse their mind and come out of being double-minded, come out of being double-minded in their life, and they lay their surrender their life on the altar to you, God, and you cleanse them, and that no unclean spirit would have a right to be in our life, to influence us and torment us and harass us, God, but the Holy Spirit, the Lord, not the spirits of legion, but the Spirit of the Lord would begin to rule and reign in our life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.